But when you come into the knowledge of Christ, you realize that your life is a sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord this morning. We thank you for coming out today to worship the Lord. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
Amen. To worship the Lord, to give him the glory, to give him the praise, to adore him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, in this place. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Our God. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. We thank you, church, for another opportunity to stand before you and to present the word of God to you. Just pray for me, and we pray for you, and we pray for Pastor as he's absent. And we want to do everything in decency and in order. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Our text this morning is coming from Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. When you have it, say amen. I should have brought the bigger Bible again. And it reads, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more." That's Paul talking about his life. "I'm circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And he being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness is of God by faith." And this is the key verse. "That I may know him." Yeah. That's shouting music right there. "That I may know him." That's where I'm hanging my hat on verse 10. It says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." God's word is already blessed. And we thank you for listening to the word of God, "That I might know him." That's the title of my message this morning, "That I May Know Him." In 1993, Graham Kendricks wrote a song after returning from a conference in the UK. The name of that song was "Knowing You." Jesus. Sister Marie sings that song often here at the church. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. But you know, he wrote this song based on reading Philippians 3. Amen? It says that historically, Paul wrote this letter from a Roman prison in 60 and 62 AD. Facing potential execution, he reflects on what really matters. He warns the church against Judaizers teaching Gentiles that one must obey the Jewish law for salvation. You know, we still have that going on today. People say that what you need to have for salvation, you got to add something to it. You just can't say Christ is sufficient. You got to say Christ is sufficient, but I got to do good works. Christ is sufficient, but I got to get baptized. Christ is sufficient, but I got to go to your church. It says, and he says, Paul had a reputation of high standards in the Jewish community, yet he called it garbage to know Christ more. Paul, you remember Paul, don't you? Paul was converted on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. God knocked him off his high horse so that he could see him clearly. Has anybody had a conversion experience where God has knocked you off your high horse so that you can see God more clearly? Paul was looking to lose everything for the pursuit of an intimate relationship in knowing God, Philippians 3 and 7. The question this morning, what are you willing to renounce to know Christ better? What are we willing to give up to know Christ better? Or are we going to just hold on to things that really don't matter in this world? The Greek word for knowing is ginosko. Ginosko means to having a deep, personal, experiential relationship with Christ. And I was like, Lord, how do we do that? How do we have a deep, personal, experiential relationship with Christ? It must come through having hands-on experience. Anybody had any hand-on experience with knowing God? Mm-hmm. It says that it goes beyond intellect. It goes beyond head knowledge. But it's having a personal encounter with God. Have you had a personal encounter with God where you felt the presence of God was in the room, the presence of God was in something that you was reading, the presence of God was in a song, the presence of God that you know, it was God. Yes. Exodus 33, 18 and 23, Moses said, God, show me your glory. And I got this shout, and I say, Lord, show me your glory. Anybody want to see the glory of God in their life?
Amen. Amen. Yes.
And it says, not even knowing and the power of his resurrection. The power, the dunamis. Pastor always uses that word. Mm-hmm. The dunamis, which represents dynamite, something stronger than just your natural life, something that can overtake your natural life. Yes. It's the same power that was active in Christ's life that raised him from the dead. Do you believe that that power is available to us today? Yes. Do you believe that?
Yes.
That the power that raised up Christ from the dead is active in us. God gives us the power to know him. I remember reading through the word that the disciples was just regular men. But God gave him the Holy Spirit temporarily. And when he gave him the Holy Spirit temporarily, they came back rejoicing. They came back excited because of when they went out, things started changing in their neighborhood. Things started changing in their community. They said that even the demons is under our command. And Jesus told them and said, you should be rejoicing that your name is written in the book of life.
Yes.
God give us power to know him. Yet Jesus is real to me. Do you know that power? His wonder-working power? The power that works in our life? God specializes in taking dead things in our life and causing them to come alive. When you became a Christian, dead things dropped off, and then God came and gave you a new life, a life of power. Dead things, God can resurrect. God can resurrect a dead marriage. God can resurrect a dead business. God could resurrect a dead hope. God can resurrect a dead career. God can resurrect dead dreams. Won't he do it, church?
Yes.
Do you know that he can do it?
Yes.
I can say I don't look like what I've been through. A lot of times you see the after products of what God has did in our lives. But you never saw the pain before our lives. Yet God has restored and transformed our life. It says that I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, we live in a society, people, that nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. Do you? I don't. On the real, I don't want to suffer.
No.
Just be honest. Do you want to suffer?
No.
But Paul said, the fellowship of his suffering. The word for fellowship is koinonia. It's more than just socializing. We're fellowshipping today. It's more than just a socializing. How you doing? Praise the Lord. You know, very, very, you know, it's not that socializing. It's sharing in common cause of Christ with other believers. The Bible says that in this world you will have trouble. You will have trouble from the devil. He will hate you. People will reject you. People will despise you. People will persecute you for his name's sake. But be encouraged, church. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We all go through seasons of suffering. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 10, it says, after you have suffered a while, he'll make you perfect. He'll establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. That's good news, church, because we all go through things in our life, but weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. It says in the text that he says that you know the power and be made conformable unto his death. Being made conformable is a Greek word called semi-morpho. Semi is where we get our word symmetry. Morpho is where we get our word where we morph into something different than what we were. It says that transformations where believers' inward character and outward life starts to change. Can you feel the change in your life? Do you know that you've been changed? It's more than a song. I know we used to sing, I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. The angels in the heaven sign my name. It means that our character and outward life, not just the outward man, but it's the inward man that changed. When we yield to the Spirit of God, God start moving things in our minds, start moving things in our heart to be more like him. Our life should match the teaching that we learn every day. That means we daily die to our personal desires. And the reason why we have to die to our personal desires, because if we go into the ground, it got to die. When it go into the ground, it dies. But you know what? Through the water and through the cultivation of the seed, it starts growing. And that you will see real wheat, you'll see real fruit in our lives. When we die to our own selfish desires, God will use us and bring more fruit. Not just one or two little apples or one or two little things of the Spirit, but he will make it much fruit. Romans 12 and 1 says, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing our minds. Conformity means that we fashion and squeeze and shape ourselves into the mold of the world. We don't want to shape ourselves into the mold of the world. Amen? Amen? Sometimes I see people, everything that come on TV, we got to practice. You know? But God don't want us conforming to the world. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. The Gospel of Mark portrays Jesus as a suffering servant, one who came not to be served, but to serve, and gave his life for ransom, Matthew 20 and 28. In closing, God wants to change us from the inside out. But as I say, knowing Christ, you got to know him. You got to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, being conformable to his death. Yet, how do we accomplish this, church? It's that we have to pray. Pray. We have to yield to the Spirit of God. And we also have to read his word, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. But I got another acronym, POWER. You got to pray. You got to be obedient. You got to worship. You got to endure. And you got to rejoice. To have power. And we thank God for that, because Christ, it was really matters in our lives as Christians. Knowing Christ is what really matters. God bless you.